Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we do our best to try to bring a common sense approach to the world of sports. Yes, we could do the hot takes. We could bring up some things that are controversial, might not make any sense, just to see if we could stir things up. Bring you some fake sports takes that we don't even believe in, but we prefer to just stick with some common sense. We prefer to make fun of pretty much everyone along the way. You know, there are a couple of different ways that you can participate in the show. You can go check out new articles. You can go check out a link to the podcast every single show that comes out. If you just head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com, but maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a comment, you need some advice, or maybe you have something you would like to bring to the show. Got a suggestion? Got something you would like us to talk about? Hit us up on any subject. You can find us on email. If you want to email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Message us over there if you'd like to. The handle for both of those is @DailyDoseSports. That is DALYDOSE. We would love to hear from you and get your thoughts. Today on the show, do you realize that this is our final weekly show?
What?
Yeah, you know, we started this weekly podcast just about 3 years ago. But starting on Monday, we will begin releasing a new 30-minute podcast every weekday morning. Now, I considered maybe playing some clips from past shows this week. We can remember our past 3 years. I don't want to go that route. So instead, I will actually be joined by longtime high school basketball coach Russ McKinstry, basically just to discuss all of the things that are going on in the world of sports right now. Now, if you're not familiar with Coach McKinstry, I would encourage you, go back, listen to Daily Dose episodes 133 and 134, because in those shows, Coach Mac came on, he shared his story about getting started in coaching, about battling with cancer, about eventually going on winning back-to-back state championships in the state of Colorado. But you know, Russ doesn't just know basketball. He doesn't just know high school sports, as he, even to this day, continues his career as a district athletic director in the state here. He is a huge sports fan in general, so I'm looking forward to getting his thoughts on the NFL, talking some college football, talking about the NBA, and of course, talking a little bit of college basketball. We will get to as much as we possibly can with Coach Mac. We will also have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know you have to make sure that you stick around for that. You know, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving weekend. Of course, here in the United States, literally the day after we reflect upon all that we already have to be thankful for, we have Black Friday. Now, if you don't know what Black Friday is, that's the day that retailers cut all of their prices to lure in shoppers. And people literally will pitch tents in the parking lots of stores and wait in line overnight for those stores to open their doors. And then when the doors open, they will trample over strangers to try to get the best deals on things that we wish we had when we were pretending to be thankful, you know, the day before. Do you see the irony there? And yes, as you can imagine, Black Friday frequently turns into Black and Blue Friday, as there are people who will fight and kick and punch each other to get the last Barbie doll.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
But here's my thing. I personally, I don't mind Black Friday. I mean, I don't participate in it, but I don't mind it. I don't mind the aggressive shoppers that will literally kill each other over the last fidget spinner. And do you know why I don't mind? Because we're just thinning the herd. It's not a bad thing, is it? I mean, less traffic, less problems parking, less waiting in lines. So let's continue with Black Friday. In fact, let's take the warning labels off of those Superman costumes that say will not allow users to fly, and let's get rid of a few more people that are slowing the rest of us down. Totally okay with that. Not a problem whatsoever. Hey, like I said, we've got a lot of questions for Russ McKinstry, who will be joining us in just a few minutes. What does he think of the Denver Broncos' struggles this year? What would he do if he was coaching Los Angeles Lakers guard Lonzo Ball, and what should we expect in college hoops this year? Plus, we do have a Daily Dose Top 5 you will not want to miss.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
Anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the Powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the Powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
We are joined right now by longtime friend and one of the best high school basketball coaches in the country. You know, he's won over 400 high school basketball games. He's made 9 Final Four visits. He won back-to-back state championships. Russ McKinstry joins us again on the Daily Dose. Coach, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, Coach. How you doing?
Doing well. How was your holiday?
You know, got plenty of turkey, mashed potatoes, so I'm feeling pretty good. How about you?
About the same. Ate way too much, did far too little, but other than that, no, very, very good. Hey, I got a lot of things that I want to get your thoughts on today. Last time you were on, of course, we kind of went through and you kind of told the story of how you got into coaching and how your career worked out and everything. Today, I want to kind of go a different route. I want to get your thoughts on some sports today. I want to get your thoughts on college football, on the NFL, on college basketball, the NBA, all those things. I hope you're ready because I got a lot of things for you today.
It sounds like a challenge and, I hope I'm up to it and can give you some good info, but I'll give you my opinion. If it's worth anything, I don't know about that, but I'd love to talk all of that with you.
Perfect. You know, I want to start first in college football. We saw 2 unbeaten teams in Miami and Alabama go down over the weekend. You know, all season, we kept hearing Alabama head coach Nick Saban talking about staying focused, talking about his team not preparing maybe the way that they should or guys going down with injuries. And you know, the media all laughs at him. Everyone kind of acts like he's just Lou Holtz in the whole thing. But you know, I've heard Bill Belichick say these kind of things. Am I crazy? I actually believe them. Sports fans in general, they completely underestimate how hard it is to win games, don't they?
I think they do, especially in football. That is such a brutally long season. So to stay focused, to stay energized and, you know, having kids ready to play week in, week out when you're starting, you know, way back end of July and here you are mid-November, late November, and you haven't had any letdowns up to that point. You know you're due for one and you hope you can survive it. But when you're playing, you know, top level football, you know, in the SEC or wherever it may be, Miami, you know, that situation there with Pittsburgh is going to happen to you. So although it seems surprising at the time, if you really think about it, those are bound to happen once in a while. And I don't think anybody can escape that type of situation, no matter how good the players are, how good the coaches.
Well, and I almost wonder, especially in the situation of Miami, I think young kids today, if you give something difficult to them, sometimes they can rise up and meet the competition. It's almost more dangerous for them to have success. They don't know how to handle it. They go crazy. They listen to all the clips. They listen to all the media coverage. Man, we really are great, aren't we? And I think they struggle handling success.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a maturity thing that some kids handle better than others. I also think that you always run into that situation where you're going to have a good football team that's going to be a super team. On any given Saturday, they can get up one Saturday out of the year, out of the football season, and really play some tremendous football. And they can do it consistently, but those teams that have the talent, that have, you know, their schemes from the coaching staff, they can get up for that one game a year. And again, no matter how well you play or how good you are as a team, when you run into a team that, you know, is playing their Super Bowl and they pick you on that particular day for their Super Bowl, then I think anything can happen on those Saturdays or in the NFL on the Sundays as well.
Well, yeah, and I think that margin for error, and we used to talk about this when we were coaching, that margin for error is so much smaller than people think it is. If you play your C-minus game and they have their B-plus game, they might get you.
Right. Yeah, it is. And that's what makes sports so interesting, and that's why you know, these people that try and make their living gambling on sports, I think they're just out of their mind, because that margin is so slim and there's so many variables that you can't control. You know, you think it's just the kids show up and the robotics and they're athletes, but you got to take into account that, you know, they have girlfriends that they might have broken up with, or they might have had a bad week in class, or they got a project due the next day that they haven't done, and they're worried about that. And, you know, they're humans just like the rest of us, even though sometimes you just look at them as athletes, that they really are student athletes and they have all the problems in the world that the rest of us have. So those are the variables you just never know about.
You know, Coach, I think the thing that stands out to me the most from this season, going into the year, everyone was talking about all these great quarterbacks. We had Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, JT Barrett, Mason Rudolph, all these guys. I am not that impressed with any of these guys as being franchise NFL quarterbacks. I'm not saying they won't be successful, but I don't know if there's a sure thing in this entire group.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that, you know, as our beloved Broncos are trying to tank it, or they look like they're trying to tank it, so they get one of those top five picks.
And sure.
Who would you actually take if you were in that position? And, you know, I actually went to the Colorado USC game and watched Sam Darnold in person, and that, you know, he's a nice player. I don't know if I want to build my entire professional franchise around him, and I feel the same way about the kid from UCLA, Josh Rosen, you know. Nice player, but do I really want to bank the farm on him?
Right.
You know, so yeah, I haven't been overly impressed. I think I kind of like the moxie of the kid from Oklahoma.
Me too.
Baker Mayfield, probably the best, is just ultra competitive, you know, a little bit of an honor streak in him, never say die attitude, seems to rise to the occasion. I kind of like him maybe as maybe the dark horse to be the best out of the bunch of them, but even that's a stretch, because you just don't know about his off-the-field problems.
Yeah, and each of these guys, like you mentioned Darnold, this is a kid that I don't know that always looks that pretty. He seems to figure out ways to win. It always doesn't look that great. Rosen is a guy that I look at. He looks prettier. He rarely finds ways to win. There's so many different ways you could go with these guys. I don't know which way to go.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think it could be the GMs and the scouting departments from the NFL, you know, banking their future on one of these guys. And, you know, hopefully a couple of them, or more than a couple, will rise to the occasion. And because the NFL needs some good quarterbacks.
Yes,
they do. They really do. I mean, there's maybe 10 or 12 really good quarterbacks, but then you look at 16 or 18 of the teams in the NFL, and they really just have average to below average quarterback play. So we do need an influx of good quarterbacks like we had back when Elway and Marino and that bunch came into the NFL. It'd be nice to get another bunch like that, but I just don't see it out of this bunch right now.
No, I don't either. You know, Coach, we're already starting to see that coaching carousel starting to spin. We saw Florida, they fired Jim McElwain. Now they've hired Dan Mullen. We saw UCLA, they fired Jim Moore Jr. They've hired Chip Kelly. We're probably way too quick to fire these guys, but you have a unique angle on taking a coaching job. You've done this before. When you take a job, like one of these jobs that's out there, one of these big name jobs, what is it that these guys are looking for?
You know, I think the biggest thing that they look for, and that I always look for too, Coach, was the ability to control your own destiny. You know, how much control in the situation did you actually have? And if you're going to have a lot of that control over your program, the type of control it takes to really build everything in that program that you need to be successful, you got to have a boss, you know, at the athletic director position, at the university president position, that really will support you through some really difficult decisions that you're going to have to make as a head coach. So if you don't trust that person and that person doesn't trust and believe in you, then usually that marriage usually ends up in a bad situation, a divorce, as they say.
Sure.
And that's kind of what you see. You know, you see a lot of these guys that take these high profile positions, but you know, their ability to be successful might be hampered by someone that is above them, or a couple people above them in rank that just aren't on board with their vision. And I think that's where it becomes very difficult to hold on to those jobs and make a breakthrough and build programs to the point where everybody expects you to build it.
Coach, I'm going to put you on the spot. I think we basically have like 6 or 7 college football teams right now, barring some crazy chaos, that are battling for a spot in that 4-team playoff. Clemson and Miami, they're going to see each other in the ACC championship. One of them will probably get to go. Georgia and Auburn in the SEC championship. I would think one of them will get in. Wisconsin will play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. I think if Wisconsin wins, I think they're in. I don't know what happens if Ohio State wins. That could change everything. And then Oklahoma will play TCU in the Big 12 championship. I think four of those teams are going to go. If you had to pick, who are the four teams you see going to this playoff?
Oh, man, great question. If I had to pick, I'd probably go with Clemson, yeah. Oklahoma, yeah. Alabama, and Auburn.
You think Alabama will still get in?
Yeah, I would probably leave Wisconsin, Ohio State out. But that again, depends on who wins these championship games come up next weekend, and yep. that could change my opinion. But if you ask me today, I'd probably go with those four. And, you know, Wisconsin and the Badgers and the faithful Badger supporters are probably going to be angry at me, and deservedly so, because they haven't been beat yet. But I don't have a lot of faith or belief in that conference still, top to bottom, as being, you know, the type of competition that the other schools are facing. So that's why I'd leave the Badgers out right now.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think that you probably nailed exactly what I would have said as well, because Wisconsin hasn't played anybody. I like them. I like their story. I like what they're doing. They just haven't played anybody. Going to have a huge test against Ohio State. I don't know how good Ohio State is either. It's all, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I thought Michigan might even get Ohio State the other day. And yep. Ohio State looked really listless and pretty average for about 2.5 to 3/4 of that game. So, yeah, I think Ohio State's pretty good, but I don't know if they're top four. I'd say the same thing about Wisconsin. So we'll see. That's kind of why I wish, Coach, that we had an 8-team bracket. I think that'd be funner.
It would.
I know it'd be kind of tough on the bowls and how the bowl structure's set up, but I think to do it the right way, take the top eight and run your basic tournament with 8 teams and see who came out on top. I think that'd be a truer way to evaluate really the best team in the nation.
Yeah, I think it would be too. And I think it's just a matter of time before we do have that, because money talks more than any other thing. And as much as they want to say it's not about money, it's always about money. And we know that. Okay.
That's right. All the money.
It is. It is. Let's switch over to the NFL. And I want to talk to you a little bit about our Denver Broncos. I don't know how to feel about the game on Sunday against the Raiders. I kind of like the fact that Aqib Talib defended his teammate on Sunday, took a second chain from Michael Crabtree.
When my grandmama gave me that chain.
He gonna cry in the car.
But this team is undisciplined, and Vance Joseph seems to have lost control of this team. Now, I want to bring up something you said on your last visit to the Daily Dose. I want to remind listeners that you said this back in July, back before the Denver Broncos had even played so much as a preseason game. You said this. Is Vance Joseph the right guy for the Denver Broncos?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm going to withhold judgment. right now, honestly, I don't think it's been a great start. From the things that I hear, and again, I'm not that close to the situation,
yeah.
And this is just me reading between the lines of talk radio that I listen to every day, probably way too much, but
sure.
I'm a little bit concerned right now with some of the things going on.
Okay, so what was it that you saw in Vance Joseph prior to any of the games, prior to anything, that you didn't like?
You know, I think if you're going to be at the top of your profession and be one that, you know, top 32 leaders of men in a certain profession, you've got to have something really special about you. And you have to have the wisdom and experience behind that personality to back up being, you know, one of the top 32 coaches in the world of football. And from the very beginning, I just could tell that Vance didn't have that depth of knowledge. He didn't have the type of background experience that would make it a situation where he could raise the level of play from a group of 52 men. I thought if the 52 men were the most talented group out of all the 32 teams, he'd be fine. But if they weren't the most talented, I didn't think he exhibited the type of knowledge and wisdom it would take to get that team to believe in schemes, you know, and what they were trying to accomplish from a coach's perspective to be successful. And I was really, really worried about that when I first heard him talk at his very first press conference. He was very much into just general cliches. He really didn't have much to say that, you know, would make you stand up and say, wow, this guy is the real deal. And if he's presenting himself that way, you know, on what should be his best day, after being hired for one of the best jobs in all professional sports, if that's the best he could do, I just kind of thought, oh no, he might be in trouble.
Well, it certainly looks like he is. It has been painful to watch. It makes me wonder, did Elway just go get a guy that would just be kind of an Elway yes man?
It sure looks like that, because he obviously overwhelmed by the situation.
Yep.
He looks flabbergasted half the time. His decision making isn't quick enough. You know, he's not holding players accountable. So you can see that in the way they're undisciplined.
And yep.
When changes should be made, like the punt returner, you know, and they never made that change until it was too late and basically cost him a game. Again, it's almost, and you've seen it too, Coach, where even at the high school level, collegiate level, if you go in with the mentality that you want to be everybody's best buddy and you just want to make sure that everybody's happy, well, then nobody's happy.
Right.
Because 50% of the people better be pissed at you because you're making decisions that are not in what they feel is their best interest, but it's in the best interest of the team. And that's just kind of where I feel he really has let the Broncos down, is he just can't make a difficult decision. And now I think you have some of the defensive players saying, what the hell am I doing playing hard for this joke of a situation?
Sure.
And so they kind of, I wouldn't say quit, but they're just frustrated. And it shows in the way they're playing undisciplined football, and fundamentally they're not sound anymore. And you can just kind of see a total collapse of the system.
Well, yeah. And you brought that up about, if you're making decisions that are extremely popular all the time, you're probably not doing the right job. Hey, Bill Belichick, his players can't stand him, I don't think. But they also know he is the guy in control. He is the guy that makes the tough calls. He's going to make the call that helps us win, though. And you kind of get that feeling. These players are looking at Vance Joseph going, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, you really do get that vibe. And you can tell also that they've been brought up to not throw their coaches or other teammates under the bus.
Yeah.
And they're trying like crazy to do that and not, you know, publicly say it through interviews. But what happens when you do that is it ends up showing up on the field, which
sure.
is what you really don't want to see happen. But that's what happens, that manifests itself in some form. And even though they're trying to protect Vance and they're trying to protect Mr. Elway, who has a big part in this mess, obviously, they're trying to protect them out of respect for both those gentlemen. But then when they get on the field, that's where they're letting their frustrations out, and it shows in the way they're playing, both undisciplined and poor play in general.
You know, a lot has been made. You talked about John Elway just now. A lot has been made recently of so many of his picks not panning out. We've talked about it here on the Daily Dose even. He's been very good, actually, at finding talent on the defensive side of the ball. I think he has been so below average on the offensive side of the ball. Do you have any theories why Elway has been so bad finding guys that can play offense?
You know, I kind of go back to, and you've probably seen this too, sometimes when you get someone who was so talented in the game, came to him so easy, they have a hard time both coaching or evaluating talent.
Yep.
Because the game came so easy to them. You know, Larry Bird is another example of that. You know, Larry Bird just couldn't figure it out because the game was so easy to him, and he was such a natural at it. And I kind of feel that way about Elway, is that he just can't evaluate talent because he's never really been one of those guys that had to really work extremely hard. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Sure.
I mean it in a positive way. He was just so gifted that, you know, he didn't see the process that it takes to really make yourself a player, maybe, and didn't experience that. And I don't know. I really can't explain it either, what's going on, but I just know that offensively his choices, you know, offensive linemen, it seems running backs, wide receivers, whatever it is, and especially the quarterback position, of all positions, just hasn't worked out very well.
Who would you say should be the Broncos' starting quarterback?
Not on the team right now.
Yeah.
I really believe that. Whatever they have to do, whether the free agency or the draft, I've seen enough from all three. You know, I think Trevor out of the three could be, you know, Gary Kubiak type backup for 9-10 years in the NFL.
Right.
You know, and if you needed him in a 2 or 3 game stretch to bail you out for a couple of games, I would have confidence in him being my backup quarterback. But I don't see any of the three on the roster right now being legitimate NFL quarterbacks.
Well, and the thing that makes me wonder is I wonder how long will we have to wait for Elway to admit he made the mistake on both Osweiler and on Lynch and say, okay, we've got to move on from these two clowns who obviously, let's be honest, they have no business playing in the NFL. They can't even compete when those two are on the field. At least with Trevor, he's not great, but at least they compete a little bit when he's in the game.
Yeah, I agree. I've always liked John Elway and obviously loved him as a player. I hope this is going to be his ultimate comeback. You know, he's a comeback kid. And, you know, he really has let the organization down here the last year or two. So I'm hoping that he can fix it before he rides off and does his next adventure, because right now it's just really ugly. I mean, we're weak at almost every position. We don't have a tight end. We don't have offensive linemen. Our linebackers are subpar NFL linebackers. The talent level's just really bad right now.
It is. It's gotten so bad. And I keep looking. We've had this now a couple years in a row where we have a guy like, is it Austin Traylor, the backup tight end that was on the practice squad? He looks like the best tight end on the roster. He wasn't even on the active roster to start the year. We had the same thing last year with, who was it, Bernard Pierce, ended up being the starter. That tells me your player evaluation isn't going so well.
Right, yeah. No, that seems to be a common theme that's happening. And then we draft all these players and you never hear from them again. You know, where are they? They're on the practice squad or they're on the 52-man roster but never getting any playing time. And, you know, you can have that happen maybe 1 year out of five, but when it happens year after year after year, you definitely have a problem that you need to fix.
Yeah, they've got big problems. Okay, we could talk about the Broncos for like a few hours and we would both get very angry and bitter and have a tough week, so we're not going to do that. What in the world happened to the AFC West? Last year, it looked like this was the best division in the NFL. It's horrible this year. The Chargers are going to end up winning this division, aren't they?
Man, it looks like that they are playing some pretty good football right now. And obviously they have, the best quarterback right now. Philip Rivers is playing really good football right now. And, the defense with Bosa at one end and Ingram at the other, and the schemes that they're running really seems to make them the favorite right now. So yeah, who would have thought? Who would have thought that would have ever happened? Who would have predicted that? Not me for sure.
No, I didn't either. And I'm looking at these teams and I think the one standard kind of holds the same for all four of these teams. I don't know how tough any of these four teams are up front. And I think we're starting to see that as this year wears on and on and on. The toughest one might be Los Angeles, I'm used to San Diego,
right. But
it might be them. I'm seeing Kansas City get pushed around. I'm seeing the Raiders get pushed around. Of course, Denver's getting pushed around. And I think it all starts up front. We kind of forget the game of football is won or lost in the trenches, but you fall in love with these, you know, skill position guys. That's not where you win games. I hate to say.
No, and it's been that way since the beginning of football, and you're right. I mean, at every level, starting, you know, back down with the peewees up through the professionals, it's about what you have up front. And no matter how skilled you are and how good your quarterback is, if you don't have the horses up front, you're in trouble. And you're right. I think Los Angeles used to have a pretty good offensive line, but they're struggling. And Kansas City, obviously, right now is really struggling. They're just about as bad as Denver is. So.
Right.
You know, it's San Diego's title to take if they're willing to, you know, step up and take it. But I'm not even so sure they will. You know, who knows what's going to happen here down the stretch.
No, you're right, because they're the team that always almost wins, and they probably will almost win the division and then lose it in the last week when they shouldn't. No, you're exactly right. Who do you like in the NFL this year?
Oh, man. You know, I hate to say it, but I kind of like the teams in the NFC right now.
I like
Philadelphia. The Rams won a big one against the Saints. So those three teams I like a lot. You know, in the AFC, obviously, I think Pittsburgh's the most talented team and the one that should step up and represent the AFC. But, you know, they seem to be dysfunctional at times, too. So that leaves Tom Brady and Belichick to hold the AFC mantle. And they'll gladly do it if nobody else is willing to step up and take it from them. So, you know, I'd have to go probably right now with Philadelphia and New England, but it wouldn't surprise me to see an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, because I think they're the two most talented teams.
Yeah, I agree with you. Pittsburgh is so loaded. Every week I watch them and I go, why aren't they just a little bit better? Like they have so much talent on that team. I just can't figure it. I love Philadelphia. I love what they're doing. That defense is really, really good. Carson Wentz is really good.
Yeah, he's really good. He's so fun to watch. He reminds me of an Elway or a Marino, you know, just the composure, the athleticism, the will to win, and the mentality. You know, he's just very, very intelligent football player. So, yeah, they've got something special in that guy.
Yeah, they do. He has surprised me. I thought he would be good. I really did. I didn't think you'd be this good this soon. I think that's the thing that stood out to me.
Yeah, I think he's one of those kids that's way wise beyond his years, and he's kind of an old soul, and just really, I think, understands the game very well and knows, you know, how to avoid situations that will hurt your team. And those are athletes that are hard to find when they get the entire concept of what it takes to win a game at such a young age. You usually don't see that.
You know, the one team that is kind of sneaky out there, and I don't know if they can do anything or not, but the Minnesota Vikings remind me just a tiny bit of that Denver team 2 years ago. Really good defense, okay offense, enough to get it done, and they could maybe grind out some ugly wins in the postseason.
You know, yeah, that's flying under the radar. When you mentioned them, I had forgotten about them, but yeah, what are they, 8-2 or whatever they're at right now, and playing with a quarterback that you probably never have heard of, you know, who was really good in college, but kind of disappeared once he got to the special ranks, but he's playing really well. And, you know, yeah, they've got some special brewing there in Minnesota. That's what I mean. The NFC seems to be kind of, the conference with the power teams right now, because you throw them in with the Rams and the Saints and the Eagles. You got four really good teams there.
Yeah, you do. It's going to be a fun postseason. I don't think we've seen great football this year. I think the quarterback plays very average. I think on the whole, there's not that many must-see teams, but I think the postseason is going to be highly entertaining.
Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, the way they have the rules now in the NFL with the limited practices and the limited summer training camps and everything, I think teams just kind of gradually get to the point where they, if they can stay healthy, then, you know, their timing, their schemes, everything seems to come together late in the season. And that's what makes the playoffs so much fun. The teams are kind of finally getting into their groove after, you know, not being allowed to practice for,
right,
you know, basically the entire season. They've played enough games and they've weathered enough storms and gotten enough experience that the playoffs are really a fun time of year. I just wish Denver was going to be part of it.
I do too. And they're not even going to be close. We're already counting down the days of the draft here in Denver.
Exactly. We're looking at April. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, are you good to stick around for one more segment? Because we've got a lot more to get to. I want to get your thoughts on the NBA this season. We have to talk a little bit about that college basketball scandal. Are you good to stick around for a little while longer?
You bet. Love to.
Perfect. Plus, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, and it might have something to do with some very good coaches. You'll have to stick around and hear that. Okay, I want to get some thoughts from Coach McKinstry on the game that he knows backward and forward. You know, he coached basketball for over 30 years. He won over 400 games. So let's talk some NBA and let's talk some college hoops with him while we have him here. Coach, for the last 3 years, we've seen Golden State and Cleveland meet up in the NBA Finals. You would have to think odds-wise, it has to end soon, doesn't it? They can't just keep going to the Finals every single year. Do you see any team that can truly contend with either the Warriors or the Cavs? Can anyone challenge them?
You know, great question. I like that Houston team. I like them a lot. And I've only seen them play maybe two or three times this year, but I kind of see them as maybe somebody that in a 7-game series might be able to hang with Golden State. Of course, I still love my San Antonio Spurs and Coach Popovich and their system.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've got the talent and all the pieces it would take to hang in a 7-game series, but Houston intrigues me. We'll have to kind of keep an eye on them as they develop through the rest of the season with Chris Paul and they get familiar with each other, and hopefully they get better as the season goes on. But I'd sure like to see someone at least compete with the Warriors, because, you know, it's no fun when one team dominates. And I hope that the same thing happens over in the East side with Boston making a really strong start. And you know, they seem to be a pretty special team this year. Maybe they can challenge Cleveland as well. And there's some younger, you know, teams like Philadelphia that are kind of fun to watch too on the East side. So I'm hoping for an interesting March, April, and getting into the playoffs in May, June, see what happens.
Coach, I'm glad you brought up some of those young teams. And we have some young teams kind of across the board. You look at teams like Minnesota or Miami. We've got one here in Denver, Philadelphia, Milwaukee. Young, very, very talented teams. But what do these teams have to do to take that next step and actually become contenders? Because a lot of them really struggle to take that next step. They're talented, but they just never do anything.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to, maybe because I'm a coach, I overrate this, but I really think it's going to come down to a coaching staff and a front office that can establish a culture. you know, I keep waiting for the Nuggets because I do. I think, unfortunately, with Millsap's injury, it takes a little bit of the shine off what they had going. But, you know, he'll be back maybe mid-February, hopefully. I see them as one of these young teams that does have the talent to go out there and compete and, you know, make some noise. But I'm not sure if they've got the right mentality or culture to do it on a consistent basis. You know, especially when it comes to winning on the road in the NBA, if you're not extremely mentally tough and, you know, you have a passion and a desire to really compete night in, night out, then the NBA is just so conducive to teams mailing in an effort, you know, when they don't feel like they need to play hard. And that's why what kind of disappoints me about the Nuggets and even Minnesota so far and New Orleans and maybe a little bit even with the 76ers, all really talented young teams, but they still don't, you know, like the Spurs and the Warriors, find a way to compete night in, night out. You know, they find excuses on reasons they can take nights off. And until they figure that out, then I don't think you can take them serious.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it is learning how to compete on a nightly basis. It's such a long season. It's such a drag of a season. It just takes forever. Coach, we've got an influx of young, very talented players. You talked about Philadelphia. They've got a couple of them in guys like Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, very, very talented guys. We have a guy out in Los Angeles, Lonzo Ball, very talented guy. We've got a stud, maybe an MVP candidate in Milwaukee, Giannis Antetokounmpo. They all have one thing in common though, Coach. They can't shoot a lick. Why are these guys not learning how to shoot the basketball?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's just been a trend with, you know, ever since probably ESPN came into vogue and, you know, the highlights on a nightly basis all focused on who was dunking, you know, with the most force or most style. And now you have the dunk contest and it just became something, you know, and you were in gyms enough and we were in gyms together enough to see that, you know, if you didn't intentionally get kids to go out and work on their mid-range jumper and then to take, you know, 300 three-point shots, they would spend 2 hours a day trying to dunk the ball, whether they could dunk it or not. And if they could dunk it, then they'd figure out, you know, different ways to try and dunk it. And they just totally would ignore, you know, the shooting aspect of basketball. So I think it still has a lot to do with just, you know, the fascination with the dunk that society in general, you know, sports fans have in general with the dunk.
Coach, if I gave you Lonzo Ball, you've seen that shot. It is not pretty. He can score. He can't shoot at all. And I think his shot is actually getting worse. I see him. He's not very physically strong. You can see him when he gets around the basket. He can be pushed around. What would you do to fix his game? I think he's a talented young player. I don't hate on Lonzo Ball. His dad's a little bit crazy, but I actually like some aspects to his game, the way he sees the floor. How would you fix his game if you had Lonzo Ball?
You know, I think, and I think you're right. I don't hate on him either. I really have a disdain, a disrespect for his dad and the way his dad does business, to be honest with you. But everything I've read and seen about his son, he's a great teammate. He's got a high basketball IQ. He's very unselfish. You know, he takes care of his teammates first before he takes care of himself. So it's all those attributes that you want out of, you know, a point guard or a swing guard. He has those attributes. I think he reminds me of Jason Kidd. And Jason Kidd came into the league and he couldn't shoot a lick either. And I think as you, you know, mature and you figure out that it's a long season and then you throw in the playoffs and it's an extremely long season, that if you really are going to stay and be successful in that league, you've got to develop a consistent shot if you're going to really be the type of player that's going to, you know, breed success within that organization. So I think it'll come, and I really do think it's because he's a lot like Jason Kidd, and he'll figure it out. And I think he's dedicated and committed enough to the game of basketball and loves enough that I suspect he's going to get better and better, you know, by year four and five, that he'll start to, you know, hopefully generate a consistent jumper that will keep people honest at least.
Coach, would you change his shot? Would you let him shoot it the way he shoots it and just...
No.
You wouldn't change it?
No. No, and I'll tell you why, Coach. I think about the time you're 15, 16, sophomore, junior in high school, you can tweak a shot a little bit more, probably mentally and psychologically tweak a shot, but trying to change the mechanics of somebody at that age, at that advanced age, it's just really difficult. So I think you can maybe get him to pull the trigger a little bit quicker and get the shot off a little bit quicker. But I would not change his release point. Everybody always talks about the release point because it's on the opposite side of the head of what you normally see in a kid who shoots the ball.
Right.
But as long as you can get that shot off a little bit quicker, I wouldn't touch it.
Like you said, if the release point was off, if he was letting it go from his hip, if he was letting it go from his shoulder even, maybe you'd say, well, you're going to have to raise it because you're never going to get it off or something. Other than that, it's all kind of the same, isn't it? He's got to get more consistent. I don't think he's very strong, especially his lower body.
Right.
You get a guy like Kyrie Irving, he gets to the basket and he finishes. It's because he's so strong is why he's so good at it. We've seen guys, you know, through NBA history that are capable of doing that. He's very, very good at it. I think Lonzo has to get stronger. I think he's got to get in the NBA weight room for, you know, a full year. We'll see some improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know, too, with basketball players, and you've seen enough as well, basketball players usually really don't reach their maturity physically and mentally both until they're about 24, 25,
yeah.
You know, so there's some of these young, you know, like Jokic with the Nuggets, you know, who's 22 and Murray and, you know, Moutier and Lonzo Ball, all these kids are 21, 22 and really, they're still almost basically teenagers. They really haven't developed into, you know, men yet, both mentally or physically. So I think, you know, all of those guys have, you know, real upsides once they truly reach that, you know, magical age of 25, 26, where, you know, the body and the mind kind of come together and you're not that silly little immature kid anymore. And you know, they do a really good job of trying to convince people that, you know, they're grown men and they're, you know, ready for the NBA. But if you really look at them and you study them closely, they just aren't ready for the NBA. But they're good enough to go to that level. And that's what you have to do, you know, financially. You'd be crazy not to, but that's why, you know, the one and done at college is just hard to watch because, you know, all these kids are just way too young to be playing in a grown man's league, but you can't deny him that opportunity, and you wouldn't want to.
Coach, if I gave you one pick, I'm going to give you one pick. You're going to start your own franchise, okay? I'm going to give you one pick, but you've got to keep that guy for the next 7 years. You can pick anybody in the entire league. You can go LeBron, you can go Steph, you can go Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, whoever you want. If you were picking one guy to build your franchise around right now, who would that guy be?
Oh, I love that question. What a great question. You know, not just because his name is Russ, but I'd have to go with Westbrook. You know, I love his motor. I love his game. And when I first saw him come out, I wasn't real enamored with him. But as I've watched him develop as a person, as a player, I just love the way he can compete night in, night out, the way he can carry a team. You know, he can play both ends defensively, offensively. And his explosion is just amazing, I think. So I probably would pick him, but there's some other players, you know, that would be in the conversation. But I just really like his game.
Somehow I knew you were going to go Russell Westbrook. But it's just the way he plays. He just plays.
Yeah.
He leaves his guts on the floor every single night. He doesn't care if you want to fight. He just comes out and he gets after you every single night. You rarely see him just kind of off tonight. No, it doesn't happen with Russ. He just goes hard every night. Kawhi Leonard, I wish he was healthy this year. We're seeing the Spurs somehow hang in there. They don't even have Kawhi back. I love the way he goes about his business.
Yeah.
Does his job.
Yeah, I love, and you know, having coached together, you know, if we could have the opportunity to coach either Russell Westbrook or Kawhi Leonard, you know, that'd be a dream come true because they fit all those intangibles and all those qualities and characters that we so desperately wanted, you know, our players to play with. And yeah, those two are really special. I enjoy watching them play the game.
Okay, I got to put you on the spot again. I'm giving you a pick. Who are you saying goes to the NBA Finals this year? Is it the same old teams again? We get some new blood in there.
I think it's probably going to be Golden State again.
Yeah.
I would not bet against them. And then I think I'm going to go ahead and take Boston. I like their players. I like their coach a lot. You know, he was one of the best college coaches, young basketball coaches at the college level. And when the NBA, you know, took him, I thought, well, it's going to be interesting to see how he adjusts to coaching at the NBA level, because it's a totally different mindset that you've got to bring. And you can just tell he's very intelligent, very in tune, and those players love playing for him, which is unusual at the NBA level.
Yeah, it is.
Usually players put up with their coach, but you can just tell that they really respect him and will go through a wall for him. So I'm going to pick the Celtics and Golden State.
That's really funny, because just a couple of weeks ago on our NBA preview, I picked the Celtics and Golden State. Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens is really good. You know, he's so good. He finds these matchups that you're sitting there saying, okay, if we could find this matchup, how are we going to exploit it? He is so good at finding those matchups, exploiting them every single time. And I think that's why his players in a way love him, because it goes back to the same old thing. Here's a coach that puts his guys in the best spot to be successful.
Correct. You know, at any level, guys that understand how to do that and have the knowledge and, you know, the experience and all it takes to give players that opportunity to be successful, they have such a huge advantage over the rest of the league. And I think that's what Belichick does. You know, obviously that's why New England's so good in football. And Brad Stevens is one of those coaches that they just get it. And then you look at so many of the coaches that you just, and we're just your common idiot, you know, fans that are watching on TV night in and night out.
Well, I am.
But if
you're
we
not.
Can see it. You know, if we could see it and we could say, hey, why isn't the coach doing that? You know, it just makes you wonder how they ever got to that level and got to that position as a coach. But we also know that there's a big, good old boy network. And sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's why you end up getting some of these guys that really can't coach to the level of a Belichick or a Stevens. And then you know why those teams that have and are lucky enough to have coaches that understand all those concepts really have a leg up on everybody else.
I'm watching Dallas a couple weeks ago, and we're seeing one guy completely dominate their offensive line. I'm going, why is Jason Garrett not doing something? Why is he not changing something? Why is he not tweaking something? And again, I'm just some moron watching. How would they not know this? How do they not see this? It doesn't happen all the time. But.
Yeah. No, but you do. You see that a lot in professional sports and college sports as well. And you're just thinking, you know, what is the pressure so great sometimes? You don't understand what they're doing behind the scenes, or the pressure that's dealing with behind the scenes that maybe just, you know, gives them a blind spot to just common sense things. But I think that's what happens. I just think that, you know, when you're dealing with boosters and presidents and owners and all the things that go on off the field, sometimes it just gives you, you know, a mentality that doesn't allow you to coach at your best level.
No, I think you're exactly right. Okay, Coach, I want to talk some college hoops. I'm watching more and more NBA these days because the game is getting more open. There's more free flow to it, and I like that, but I still prefer watching college basketball. The problem is, before we can get to any of the actual stuff taking place on the court, we're going to have to discuss the basketball scandal that has taken place just prior to the season. Of course, in all 8 different programs, were named by not the NCAA, but by the FBI, as coaches and assistants were taking money to direct players to certain schools and certain shoe companies. What in the world do you make of this college basketball scandal?
You know, honestly, Coach, I can't really believe that it took this long for it to be exposed, because this has been going on for so long. You know, back in the 80s, you know, when I was in college and came out and first started coaching at the high school level, there was so much of this that was going on. And we all heard about it as our kids were being recruited to different institutions, and they would come back and tell you stories about some of the crazy things that were going on campus and some of the things they were being offered. But for some reason, you never read about it in the newspaper, or very rarely did you read about it in the newspaper. So really, it's not a surprise to me. What is a surprise to me is what took so long for, you know, higher level authorities like the FBI, like the NCAA, to bring this to the light so that something would be done about it. That's what is amazing to me.
You know, Coach, maybe I'm crazy. I look at a guy like Rick Pitino, and Rick Pitino has had some very, very good assistant coaches for him when you think back. You had Billy Donovan, Tubby Smith, Jim O'Brien, guys like Frank Vogel or Ralph Willard, really good assistants. It makes me wonder if Rick Pitino got sick of losing really good assistants to other programs, so he goes and hires some no-name guys to do this dirty work, and it comes back to bite him because he tells him, hey, I don't want to know what you're doing. Just get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. And you throw in, the rise of the club basketball scene at the high school level. And with that came the rise of the shoe companies, because they're the ones that really threw the financial support behind the club scenes and all the tournaments spread throughout the country. So I think, it was just the perfect cesspool, so to speak, to have all this dirty stuff just kind of start to happen as the pressure to win becomes, in our society so great, and you're paying a coach $4, $5, $6 million a year. They're willing to take the gamble, because why wouldn't you? If I can get a job and get paid $4 million, and if I can keep a job and get a long-term contract, I'm going to set up my family and my family's family for generations and generations. So, it became big business, and with big business, the higher you rise in each level, no matter if it's athletics or any corporate, situation, the more money that's involved, the more, I'll just say poop, gets involved as well, because it's a matter of money, and money is something that we all strive to attain, but we know how ugly situations can develop from trying to attain money and become very greedy.
Well, and I know when the news first broke, we were hearing from the media, this stuff happens all the time, and we know that it does, but there are nearly 350 D1 schools out there that have, D1 college basketball. There are only 8 schools named, at least so far. Some of the coaches out there, I know they're not going to get talked about nearly as much because it's not as fun. There are some coaches out there doing things the right way.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, I would say the vast majority of them are.
I would too.
And congratulations to them, because, they are doing it the right way, and they, them and their institutions have a lot of ethics and integrity and follow the rules down to the letter of the law and, do everything they can to help kids, become better human beings and go on and be successful in their careers. And I think that's, you just got to keep that in mind always, because it's easy to get depressed or down on the athletics, in the situation revolving around college athletics. But all in all, still, it's, top notch coaches doing wonderful things for their kids.
Yeah. Coach, one more story before we actually get to the news, on the court. The biggest story so far, I think, in college hoops is the knucklehead UCLA kids getting popped for shoplifting in a country that, they might be lucky they came home with both hands. You have had to deal with punishing kids for doing stupid things like this. You've dealt with these situations in your coaching career. How would you go about punishing these kids at UCLA?
Yeah, and you were part of the staff that we had to deal with some of those situations. So you and I have been through the very similar situations together. So. It's disappointing, and what you have to do is use it as an opportunity to teach them a really, really valuable life lesson. And I'm so glad that, Steve Alford, suspended them, and not just for a game or two, but a lengthy suspension, because obviously they need to be, taught a valuable lesson, but also give them the opportunity to think through what they could have done differently and what they should have done differently and what they did to embarrass their family and, their college community and, really the entire nation, basically.
Right.
It was just really embarrassing. I was embarrassed for them, but I also know that that's, that's what kids do. That's what we all did as kids. We were stupid and knuckleheads and sometimes didn't make the best decisions. So I don't think you bury them. You don't want to bury the kids, but you want to send a real strong message to them about appropriate behavior and how something like this could really impact their entire future for the rest of their lives. And you hope that it doesn't, but it certainly could. And that's why you've got to help them, grow as people and make sure they understand what they did wrong, make them accountable for what they did wrong. And then obviously give them an opportunity to make up for their mistake.
Yeah, I see these situations, and it's funny because kids don't change. We dealt with this stuff right. When we were coaching. You probably dealt with this stuff when you were playing, and we all did, and it goes back forever. Kids don't change. It's the adults and whether or not they're going to actually hold the kids accountable. That's the only difference. Kids are always going to do stupid things. They're kids. They're expected to do dumb things on some level, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I think And I get to ask that question all the time, you know, are today's kids harder to coach? Are they different? And they're really not. Kids are, they're good people. They want the same thing that I wanted 40 years ago when I was an athlete. You know, they want a positive experience. They want to be validated for their efforts. They want to feel good about themselves and, you know, have self-esteem and have the opportunity to go out and have an enjoyable experience. And nothing's changed about kids. And you're right. It's just sometimes that as adults, we want to give them some entitlement or make excuses for them. And that's obviously the worst thing we can do for them is, you know, because kids really do want discipline and they want to be held accountable. And if you don't, then that's where we start running into problems.
I hope they handle it the right way. I like what they've done so far. I want to see where it ends up, but hopefully these kids learn from it and it does help them in the future. It's too bad that it came to this. Okay, let's get to the actual basketball stuff and actually talk some of that. Duke is the preseason number one. It seems like every year, I think they're the preseason number one. Grayson Allen, very talented player. Seems like he's maybe got his emotions under control, at least so far. I know this team is talented, but they are young in some key spots. Are you buying the Duke Blue Devils as the top team in the country right now?
You know, I would have to say yes, I am. They would be my pick right now. The front line, Bagley, and I think it's Carter's the other kid's name.
Yeah.
Those two are by far the two best front line players I've seen. So if they get solid contribution from Grayson Allen, which it looks like they're going to, it looks like he's grown up, and then they get just, I would say solid performance from their point guard play, I just don't see anybody beat them. Because I think they're just going to get better and better. And, you know, the type of coaching they're going to get day in and day out. And, you know, they're going to be taught all the right things and learn all the right lessons. I really do see them as a favorite. But, you know, there's probably six or seven other programs that on a given night will give them all they want. And because, like you said, of their youth, they could be beat on a given night by Michigan State, a Florida, Wichita State, Kansas, you know, some of those programs. So I don't think it's a given, but I'd say they're my preseason favorite right now.
Any other teams that stand out to you? You mentioned a couple there. I really like Michigan State. I like what they do. Arizona, still not sure what's going to happen with Sean Miller, but I really like Arizona. And of course, you mentioned Kansas. Any other favorites that stand out to you that can contend with Duke?
You know, I still like the defending champions, North Carolina, a lot. I think they're kind of like Duke. I think by the time the tournament rolls around, they're going to be pretty darn good. Their depth is really amazing. I really like the mid-level Wichita State team. Watched them play a couple of times already. And you know me, I always look at guard play and the post play.
Yep.
And if you have your front door covered with a good point guard and your back door covered with a strong post player, I think you can have a shot, especially at the collegiate level. I really think guard play is so important at the collegiate level, and Wichita State guards are really, really solid. So I like them a lot. Kansas is always going to, you know, be right there with the talent that they recruit. So, those are Florida. I like the way Florida, your Gators are really good. I know you're a Gator guy, and I love the way they play, and their guard play is so good, and they shoot the ball so well that if they get on a hot streak, watch out for them too. So, those are some of the teams I like right now, and we'll kind of, you know, watch how other schools develop. Arizona went through a rough stretch here recently. I think they lost three in a row over in the Bahamas at a tournament.
But, yeah.
Sean Miller, I consider to be one of the best coaches in the business. I really do. So hopefully, nothing negative comes about because of some of the things his staff has been accused of or involved in. I'd hate to see that happen to him because I think he's a top-notch coach and runs a top-notch program. So, we'll see. And USC, you know, is really, really talented out of the Pac-12, and we'll see what kind of team they can develop into down the stretch as well. So should be fun. Should be another fun year.
Coach, I know that you watch a ton of college hoops, but a lot of times you'll watch games. We'd come into the gym some days. I'd say, what game did you watch last night? Yes, you watched the big game or you watched the UNC Duke, but I also know that you watched some games that maybe aren't on everybody's, you know, radar exactly. You'll watch some of the teams that aren't out there. Any teams that stand out to you? You mentioned Wichita State, another one of those kind of mid-majors. Any teams that are out there maybe a little under the radar that people wouldn't know about that might be a little bit of a sneaky contender this year?
You know, that's a good question. And I love that question because you're right. I probably enjoy watching mid-level or even low-level Division I teams play because I think the coaching has to be so much better because those teams have to play a schedule that usually includes a lot of the big boys. And if they're going to compete and not embarrass themselves, usually those coaches are very, very good at X's and O's and schemes. So, you know, a team that I think really might be really good that I think maybe is in the top 25, but might be a top 10 is St. Mary's out of California. I watched them play and they have some really talented players and some depth. And again, I really like their guard play a lot. So keep an eye on them as maybe one of those teams that you never hear about that could really make a nice move in the NCAA tournament.
Well, and it's funny because you've got some teams out there that maybe have some, you know, some new coaches or that kind of thing. I look at, you know, someone like Indiana with Archie Miller. They're going to struggle a little bit early. But, you know, where will these teams end up as we get down the stretch? Which teams are getting better? And we know, it, you know, it was never where you started. It was where you finished in a season as long as college hoops and that kind of thing. Who's going to finish and be hitting their stride right at the right time?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, another team that's Shaka Smart in Texas, you know, I think.
Yep.
And Mark Turgeon, the Texas A&M, is another one too. You know, the football schools that you don't really think of as being basketball powerhouses, but I really like both Texas A&M and Texas. And Shaka Smart is such a good young coach, and he's made a tremendous difference in just a year and a half. And I really think they're going to be really strong too at the, you know, second half of the season.
Coach, I don't know how we did it, but we've already knocked out an hour. It's always enjoyable when you come by. I have to say thank you for stopping by the Daily Dose to discuss a wide variety of sports with us. We picked your brain on a number of different things. You stepped up with big answers every single time. You know, I told you we're getting ready to move to a daily show. You know you're going to have to come back again a number of times and do this same thing a few more times, you know?
Hey, it's a highlight for me. I love talking sports with you, and I would do it 5 days out of the week if I could. So you ask, I'll be there, and congratulations on moving to the daily format. I think that you're going to do really well, Glenn. Well, so I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you being here. You know you are welcome anytime, and I will be harassing you to come back on again very soon.
I love it.
Just a quick reminder, be sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose to do any of that holiday shopping that you might need to do. Loot Crate offers a monthly crate of pop culture items filled with exclusive merchandise from your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's crate is called Explore, and it features items from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Destiny. You can sign up for a single crate, a subscription of crates that'll arrive in your mailbox every month, or you can just go order individual items. You know you have a few people on that holiday list. You're not sure what to get them, right? Loot Crate has tons of choices to fit even the most difficult person on your list. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you place your order, just type in Daily Dose in the coupon box, DALYDOSE. We will get you 10% off of that order. And also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network, RogueIntel.com. RogueIntel.com has got a number of other podcasts over there on a variety of different subjects you're going to like, you're going to get addicted to. So make sure that you check out a few of the other podcasts over at RogueIntel.com. Now, before we get to our Daily Dose Top 5, if you are enjoying the show and you don't want to miss a single episode, there are a few ways to make sure you'll never miss a show, especially like we talked about now that we're going to a daily show. Go over to iTunes, go to somewhere like blogtalkradio.com, go to stitcher.com, anywhere that carries podcasts. Search the show. You can listen to it right there. But maybe you want to listen to it and you're not going to be near your computer. You're not going to have a Wi-Fi connection. You're not going to be connected to the internet. It's okay. You can still do that. If you're not technically savvy, we'll walk you through it very, very quickly. Go download a podcast app to your phone or listening device. It could be something like Podcast Republic or Stitcher Radio. If you have an Apple phone, just use their podcast app. Search Daily Dose within that app and subscribe to the Daily Dose. Every time a new episode comes out, you click refresh. It'll be there ready and waiting for you. You just download it and you can listen whenever, wherever you want. In the car, at the gym, on a walk, wherever you are, you can listen to the Daily Dose and you will never miss a single episode. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, we talked a little bit to Russ about some of the college football coaches getting fired this year. We've already seen a number of them go down. And they're not done yet. Jim McElwain down at Florida, he's gone. Jim Moore Jr. at UCLA, Mike Riley at Nebraska, Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M, Todd Graham at Arizona State. They've already been fired. You know, there are a number of coaches in the NFL whose seats are getting extremely hot.
It sure is getting powerful warm in here.
It won't surprise me to see 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired once the NFL season finishes out. And I understand that the fans want a move to be made. They want someone to pay for what they perceive as underachievement. But here's my word of caution. Be careful, sports fans. Because sometimes those coaches that do get fired prove to be pretty good. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 counts down very good football coaches somehow still got fired. Number 5 on our list.
5.
You know, it is always tough to be the guy after the guy. Like, you never want to be the guy after the guy. You can be after the guy, but you don't want to be the guy after the guy. And Frank Solich had the misfortune of following Tom Osborne at Nebraska. Of course, Tom Osborne was one of the all-time greats in Nebraska history. So when Frank Solich took over the Nebraska Cornhuskers in 1998 and went 33-15, Nebraska fans were calling for his head. How good does 33-15 sound to you now, Nebraska? You'd kill for 33-15 now, wouldn't you? Because since Frank Solich, Nebraska has gone 112-102, just barely above 500. Meanwhile, Frank Solich went on to Ohio University. He's completely rebuilt a very below average program into one that is solid every year. They have finished first in the MAC 3 different times. He's taken them to 8 bowl games. Frank Solich was simply at the wrong place at the wrong time. And as a result, he ended up getting fired. Hey, he can coach a little bit, though. He's a pretty good coach. He's number 5 on our list. Now, number 4 on our list.
4.
It seems like it has worked out for both sides. Georgia hired Kirby Smart, and they are playing in the SEC championship game this weekend. Meanwhile, Mark Richt went down to Miami. Hey, he has the Hurricanes playing in the ACC championship game. But in his time at Georgia, Mark Richt went 145-51 as head coach. So why in the world did he get fired? Well, for starters, he went 5-10 against arch rival Florida. And so he had the rap of never winning the big one. There's no question Mark Richt can coach, but the fans in Georgia felt like he missed some opportunities to win maybe a little bit more than he did. Caution, just be careful. You don't know what you're going to get. It looks like Kirby Smart is going to work out. You got to be careful in those situations. You could end up in a situation like Nebraska. They're wishing they could go back to the good old days of Frank Solich right now. Mark Richt comes in at number 4. Number 3 on our list.
3.
You know, sometimes as a head coach, you struggle because you just don't have enough talent. And whether it's owners or boosters, they're just not patient enough to stick with you. And that is definitely what happened. When the Los Angeles Raiders hired Mike Shanahan to be their head coach in 1988, Shanahan was trying to win with quarterbacks like Jay Schrader and Steve Beuerlein. And Al Davis had enough and he fired Shanahan. Turns out Shanahan was a pretty good coach when he actually had some talent. He went back to Denver, won 2 Super Bowls with the Denver Broncos with John Elway and Terrell Davis, and he especially loved playing against his former team. Shanahan went 21-7 against the Raiders while he was in Denver, and he made sure to rub it in Al Davis's face whenever he could. Again, kind of just wrong place, wrong time. Shanahan's a pretty good coach, especially when he had talent. Trying to win without much talent when he was out in LA that first go-round. Moving on to number 2. You know, our number 2 entry, you see him now. And I mean, he just rolls out a new team every single year and he contends for a title. But back in 1980, our number 2 entry, he was just a defensive backs coach at Ohio State. And when the Ohio State Buckeyes allowed 28 points to Navy in the 1981 Liberty Bowl, head coach Earl Bruce went into the locker room, got angry, and fired the entire defensive coaching staff. Now, keep in mind, this was actually a game that Ohio State won, but Earl Bruce got mad and he fired every single member of the coaching staff, including a 30-year-old defensive backs coach named, yep, Nick Saban. Yeah. All Saban has done is go 212, 62, and 1 as a head college coach. He's won 5 national championships at 2 different schools, and he's put his name up there with the greatest coaches ever. Nice job, Earl Bruce. Way to go make an emotional decision instead of a rational one. You know, we expect those emotional things from fans, not from coaches. Like the fans, they get all mad, fire everybody, bench Tom Brady. Like they get mad, they say stupid things. I remember back in the 80s, there were a number of fans that would get mad when the Broncos would lose the Super Bowl. They should cut John Elway, trade John. Seriously? One of the best quarterbacks ever? Yeah, that might be a tiny bit of emotion. You expect it from fans calling into talk radio. You don't expect it from the actual coach. Earl Bruce did it. He fired Nick Saban back in 1980. And Nick Saban has gone on to be pretty good. All right, moving on to our number one entry. Very good football coaches that got themselves fired somehow. Now, when you look at this guy's record with his former team, you might not be all that impressed. Because he went just 36 and 44 in 5 seasons. Doesn't sound that impressive, does it? He did make the playoffs once. Again, big deal. Yeah, except he did it with the Cleveland Browns. What? Now that changes things a little bit, doesn't it? Then the Browns announced they would be moving to Baltimore and they would be firing their head coach, one Bill Belichick. Yes, he joined the New England Patriots. A franchise that, hey, if you're too young to know, the New England Patriots had a reputation for being losers. And Bill Belichick became the most decorated head coach in NFL history. He has led the Patriots to a 201-71 record and has won 5 Super Bowls. Not bad for a guy that got fired by the Cleveland Browns. Some of the coaches that we're seeing right now, in college football, we're going to see in the NFL. They're getting fired because maybe they're not very good at their jobs. Coach McKinstry and I talked about that a little bit. There are some guys that got their jobs maybe because of who they knew. Maybe not so much because of their talent. So maybe they got fired because they're not very good at their jobs. Sometimes more of it is about being in the right place at the right time with the right talent. And that can completely change the way that we might think about a coach and his career. A lot of these guys can coach. They just need to find the right spot. Hey, next week, I cannot stress this enough to you. We will be bringing you a brand new 30-minute show on Monday. We will be recapping a huge week in college football. And the NFL postseason is starting to shape up. Plus, we will be hitting the latest and greatest in all sports news that is coming out. I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening. We are so glad to have you join us. Thank you for recommending the show to your friends. We truly do appreciate it. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind by emailing us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much to Russ McKinstry for stopping by. We always enjoy your visits to the Dose. Can't wait to have you on again. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday.